Southeastern Baptist Seminary, Tuesday, November 24, 1987. Today is Missionary Day, and our speaker is Jack D. Hancox, missionary to Haiti.
I want to welcome you to this Missionary Day. The hymn is number 229, not the one that is printed in your bulletin. 229, shall we stand as we sing together? We gather together. Pray with me. Father, whose Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray, let our prayers for others be the kind that you want, and not just the ways of getting what we want, who already have so much in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Would you silently pray for the world? Lord of all the worlds that are, Savior of men and women, we pray for the whole creation. Order the unruly powers, deal with injustice, feed and satisfy the longing peoples, so that in freedom your children may enjoy the world that you have made and cheerfully sing your praises through Jesus Christ our Lord. And would you join me now in the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be seated.
We'd like to invite you in singing the anthem this morning. Please join us. If you will look on the last page of the order of service, you will see printed there the line that we would like to have you sing with us. The choir will sing this theme twice. Then a soloist will sing the first verse, beginning with the words, Therefore you shall draw water, following which we'll ask you to join in singing the refrain. Then a second verse follows, and again a refrain after that, a third verse. And then we'll ask you to sing the refrain twice with us as we conclude the first song of Isaiah. Remain seated as you sing, and our leader will turn around and indicate when you should join us.
Trust in him and not be afraid, for the Lord is my stronghold. 30 years ago, Jack Hancock and I were appointed to the foreign mission field nearly 30 years ago, 59. And about 2 years later, we met each other, not having seen each other, because he went to France and Betty and I went to Italy. And about 2 years later, there was a missionary meeting of all the European missionaries. And Doris and Jack, and Joyce and Roy Wyatt, who were then in Spain, and Betty and I met in Italy to have a European Baptist missionary meeting. I had not seen Jack and Doris since that time, and it was a real joy to find out that he was coming here to speak, to be a part of our campus for this fall, and so we welcome him to this missionary day. When Jack and I walked in a little while ago, seeing the equipment that is not usual in pipes on the side over there, we thought maybe, being both of us from Tennessee, that finally the music appropriate for chapel had arrived. And I believe they could play "I'll Fly Away," but we will not ask them to do that. Jack Hancock is a native of Tennessee. He's a graduate of University of Tennessee, did some work at Duke and at Vanderbilt, and he told me just now that it was in his last year of graduate work at Duke that he experienced God's call to preach. He later went on to Southern Seminary in Louisville, and there he took his basic degree, went on from there, and after a pastorate to serve in France, then in the French West Indies, and now to Haiti, where he serves with distinguished career of missions. Along with Doris, his wife, we welcome him to this missionary day.
I really would like to have heard "I'll Fly Away," but maybe next time we can work that out. You uncultured people may not appreciate that piece of music, but it's indigenous to our part of the world, so anyway. Being an acute observer of the human scene, particularly chapel, I would like for you to convey to them that should have been here that they wouldn't have been preached at anyway if they had been here, because I'm not going to preach. I'm going to talk about missions and not preach, because there are a lot of excuses for that, but I don't have one. I want you really to look at your bulletin and to note and keep these highlights from the Foreign Mission Board report for this past year. There's some very significant things there, because the Foreign Mission Board is alive and well. We have had problems, and we will have some more problems, but I'd like you to look at this report because it speaks to some of the criticism that has been leveled at our Foreign Mission Board. Before calling your attention to one or two points there, I would like to bring you greetings from Haiti. Mark and Peggy Rutledge, who were here last year, have been on the field since March. Virgil and Patsy Suttles have been on the field since the 5th of this month. And also greetings from the leadership of the Baptist Convention there, numbering approximately 50,000 baptized believers, serving the Lord in about 90 mother churches and over 500 mission churches. Baptists have been there since 1823 and have a strong witness throughout the country. In this report, you will notice that 86 was a great year. A record number of baptisms, 185 plus thousand, or one baptism for every 10 church members, almost 11 church members. And another significant thing that you need to be aware of, that 20 new churches were started every week somewhere in the world by your missionaries and their national colleagues. Another thing to note is that the career appointment last year reached 256 new missionaries. We're the only major religious denomination in the world that continues to send missionaries overseas in any great number at all. Actually, since this report was made, we've now moved into 111 countries and over 3,800 missionaries overseas. And then please consider the request. There are 426 urgent requests for missionary positions overseas. Now, these are requests from the fields, not from Richmond, not from the staff, but from the nationals and the missionaries who are in the field. And notice the kinds of jobs that are needed. Church planning and church development still lead the pack. We have 307 requests right now for trained pastors to come to serve overseas. We have about, I understand, 80,000 to 90,000 ordained Southern Baptist men to serve the less than 40,000 churches in the U.S. and most of them in the South. We have requests for health service positions, management, business, support services, education, human needs, community development, and 221 positions for short-term auxiliaries. Short-term means up to 2 years. When Bill and I and our families were appointed only in 1959, you had three choices when you went overseas. You could be a church planter, you could work in a hospital as a doctor or administrator or nurse, or you could teach in a Bible institute, a school of some kind, a theological institute. Now, young people are being called out with all kinds of skills and talents to serve the Lord overseas as career missionaries. And I think that's a very significant point. I was at Richmond just a few days ago and only talked to two men other than the couple that is now in Haiti, the Suttles, and both of these young men were hydrologists. One was going to work in Ethiopia as a career missionary, and the other one was going to Liberia. As I said, the Foreign Mission Board is well and alive, but we have problems. And I would sincerely encourage you to pray for Keith. We now have 85 elected members, trustees to the board. In 86, you'll notice in the report, there are only 11 women on the Foreign Mission Board. And now, this year, that number has been cut down drastically. There are only three or four women from among those 85 members. I think that's something you ought to be aware of. The thing that hurts me the most is that our World Hunger Funds have dropped almost in half since 1985. We may not even make $6 million for hunger relief activities this year, according to a recent report. And John Chain says, one of the great tragedies of facing the continuing hunger crisis in third world countries such as Mozambique and Sudan and Sahel is that it apparently takes a horror film to make people aware of the scope and severity of the problem. The problem of hunger will continue to get more severe from now until the turn of the century, unless Southern Baptists can develop some major strategies in the context of the whole missionary strategy, we will not be able to deal effectively with the hunger problems. And last year, the average gift for Southern Baptists among the 14.8 million, we gave a grand total of $1.64 for an entire year to help feed the hungry, minister to the poor throughout the world. We only spent 6% of it. You realize how much money came into Southern Baptist churches last year? $4 billion came into our local churches. That's 400 million, 4,000 million. And slightly less than 6% of that for foreign missions. I think that's a significant fact. You ought to know it. Whatever it says to you, respond accordingly. And this is in view of the fact that it's common knowledge today that every 24 hours in this world, 40,000 little babies die. Yes, I said 40,000 every 24 hours. You say, well, that's good population control. Yeah, it is. You know what their crime is? They're hungry. Malnutrition. And so their little bodies are susceptible to the kind of diseases your children and grandchildren and friends' children receive the various kinds of inoculations and vaccinations and good food and can survive malaria and typhoid fever and hepatitis and all the rest. Let's look at Haiti, and that's where my heart is. What's happening in Haiti right now as I speak to you? Well, in the last 3 weeks, the second presidential candidate was assassinated. The National Election Committee's office was burned. They burned the business, the hardware store one of the members of that elected committee owned. They attempted to take his life. The printing presses were burned that were to prepare the ballots for the election, which comes up Sunday, the 29th. 2 days ago, Radio Lumiere, which is a Protestant radio station, been there since 1959, the transmitters, which were just above our house, we could see them from our roof, were burned, and they're off the air. And just yesterday, a whole square block, about two blocks from the National Fire Department, burned to the ground. It was doused with gasoline, and the arsonists shouted as they went through, setting fire to it, and they killed two people in the results. Burned it to the ground, screaming, "Long live the army." And they're going to try to have elections Sunday. I want you to bow your heads right now and pray just a moment before I continue. Father, we don't know what's going to happen Sunday, but we're committing this whole affair to you. The Haitian people rose up and chased away one of the most repressive dictators who has ever lived, and yet they have squandered away because of inaction on the part of international organizations and our own government included, and arson, murder, assassination reigns in the country. People are frightened, and yet they say they're going to the polls Sunday. And so we would pray for your protecting love upon our colleagues there, our Christian friends, and that they may be sensitive to the fact that throughout Sunday, Baptist people here in the States will be very much alerted, be much in prayer, that this thing may be solved for your eternal glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to take the time that remains to simply give you some insights of one approach to holistic ministries that one particular missionary has been able, with a minimum of interference, to accomplish during the past 9 years. My basis of operation is the 9th chapter of Matthew, particularly the 35th through the 37th verses, where I have all the information I need to direct my life in this way. Jesus, as you know, looked upon the multitude with compassion as harassed and helpless people, without a voice, disheartened, dejected, distressed, poor, hungry. And if you'll read the rest of that period of his ministry, you'll get a description about everything that any holistic, aware missionary will do. You will minister to the suffering if you really have compassion. That doesn't mean that you're just sympathetic with their problems, but it means that you desire to help alleviate their suffering and discover and eliminate some of the causes of their suffering and their distress, and their alienation, and their voicelessness. So what we have tried to do in Haiti very quickly will fall into these categories. And I must say that I'm not a trained engineer, I'm a Baptist preacher. That's the only skill, if I have any, that I have. And it's my primary love. But when I got to Haiti and saw what was there, I began to develop programs with the backing of the Foreign Mission Board and develop some programs that are still going on and ministering to the people in the spirit of that text. We do water systems. Since the past 7 years, the well drilling crews, all Haitians, I'm the only Blanc that's involved in it. We've drilled 341 wells for the people of Haiti in the last 6 years. We drilled 62 wells from the 15th of January to the 1st of July this year. We've capped springs so that water can be brought down from the mountain and by gravitation into the villages. We've done two enormous systems, and one, the village worked for 18 months digging into this mountain so we could get a level to flow the water into the village. They dug down 35 feet deep by hand, hauling up the rocks in little buckets. But for the first time in 200 years, they have clean water in the village. We're involved in agriculture. I knew very little about it. I'm not an old farm boy at all. But I learned an awful lot about hogs and rabbits and chickens and a few other things relating to these activities. And so we have sponsored, through your gifts, the World Hunger, an enormous project in hogs, because the African swine fever attacked the hog population, and U.S. government, to protect our own pork industry, we bankrolled $70 million to destroy all the pigs in Haiti. And then some of us had to get busy and repopulate, because the pig for Haitian farmers is his bank account. And that's what he borrows money on. That's what he sells when he has to have a funeral or a marriage or send a kid off to school. And so in the last few months, we have distributed over 2,000 healthy animals to the peasants. And we have 260 some odd breed animals in 30 breeding stations across the country. We do co-ops. We work with all kinds of international organizations. We're working with Habitat, for example, right now, one of our co-ops is, and they're building 30 houses in an area up on the plateau. They already have three houses complete. Trees. The Rutledges, who were here last year, Mark is a forester. He's now a career missionary in Haiti. He's responsible when he was a volunteer. He organized, trained Haitians to operate two tree nurseries, and we've taken over a third tree nursery, and we probably planted well over 1.5 million trees in the last several months. Because Haiti, which once was a beautiful forested island, has less than 5% tree coverage today, which means we're 2 or 3 years away from ecological disaster, soil erosion. They need, somebody said, well, why do they want to cut the trees for? Don't they know that that hurts the situation? I said, but 6 million people have to have some fuel to cook their one bowl of rice a day. And so whether they don't have money for kerosene, they don't have electricity, so what do? They cut the little scrub trees, make charcoal, and cook their food. And so we have an intensive program funded also. All these programs, none of the programs that I'm telling you about in human needs is funded by cooperative program or Lighting Moon funds. These are all funded by the hunger, World Hunger offerings. And you can see why I'm disturbed that this year we may have less than $6 million. I could use almost that much in Haiti. We have vocational training schools. We train people in skills so they can go out and earn money to buy their bread and feed their families. We teach masonry, carpentry, welding, and agricultural skills, sewing and cooking, and other such skills. And so, because only one out of every nine schools is a government school, that means that the Christian population in that country has to provide schools. So our little Baptist convention has about 100 primary schools, and they're very primitive buildings, not very highly trained teachers. And so we try to provide one good meal a day for those children. And in the program that we had to close down because of the violence and the insecurity, the inability to protect the food, to get it out to the schools, we had to shut down for a while. But we were feeding 16,000 kids a day, and the cost that I worked out was around 11 cents per child per day for one good meal. We do community health, preventive type health, not hospitals and clinics, but training village workers to go out and intercept the problems that destroy, that kill. And so I want you to understand that the world is still out there. It's the same mess it was when Jesus went about on his missionary tour. And I feel that all of us can make an impact that we haven't even been challenged to make. I am embarrassed to tell you that the average Southern Baptist gave $1.64 to alleviate world hunger. And it's disgraceful that I have to mention it. It's not some specialty of the Foreign Mission Board, it's a part of the gospel of the kingdom. There is no dichotomy there whatsoever. It's certainly not evident in the life of our Lord. Whatever dichotomy may have come into it has come into it in the last 100 years or so. Jesus always illustrated, practiced this holistic approach to human need, human suffering, the lostness of man. And so, at least in one part of the world, you can be assured that if you have supported world hunger offerings in your churches, your money has been well used. I work with over 100 different development agencies. I try to use the resources that are available. I use almost as much money from international sources on some projects than I use of your money. If it's there and we have a good track record, we have a level of credibility, we're asked to do things in the fields that where we are ministering today. And other people are grateful to be a part of it. I wish Southern Baptists could be even more grateful and give more honestly to increase this ministry. When we go back in a few weeks, we will not get to live in Haiti. When I was asked to be the development consultant for the Caribbean, it was with the understanding that I would be permitted to remain in Haiti. But the past year, I've visited all the 21 other countries, and the air schedules are so difficult out of Haiti. You have to always go back to Miami, and you waste so much time in airports that it was decided that we would have to move. Although Haiti will still be one of my number one responsibilities, and I will visit as often as I can, I will not get to live there anymore. But we'll be living in Saint Martin, which is a little island east of Puerto Rico, east of the Virgin Islands. It has excellent air transportation arrangements to all parts of the Caribbean, and so we will be stationed there when we go back the last of December, 1st of January. We'll be trying to follow up programs we started last year in some of these other countries. We'll visit Belize and Barbados and Tortola and Trinidad and St. Kitts, St. Vincent, Grenada, Dominican Republic, Guadeloupe, Martinique, and many other islands where we have Baptist work. And we will work not only with our Baptist people, but we have been a consultant to many international groups simply because we've had the experience and we haven't been embarrassed to share that experience with others, regardless of their. I drill wells for Catholics, I drill wells for Adventists, I drill wells for communities, I drill wells for the government, I drill wells for Germans and French and Dutch. Groups are there working in the same area, maybe in irrigation or some other program, and we try to work together to lift the lot of a very maligned, a very needy, a very wonderful people. And so, would you promise yourself and promise our Lord that in the next few hours you will really pray for our colleagues there in Haiti? I really am unsettled about their security, their safety, about the government, about the people who are going to vote. How many of you would go out and vote if your life was threatened? Now, we don't even go out and vote when it's just an inconvenience. But these people said, we're going to vote. We want to have a democratic government. Although their lives have been threatened, the electoral committee is headed up by a good friend of mine, a Haitian, the superintendent of the Methodist Church in Haiti, Alan Rocourt. He's been mentioned in the papers. Pray for him. Pray for our churches. Pray for our pastors. Pray for our priest friends, all who are trying to bring to bear on the electorate no more of this dictatorship, no more of this military junta. Let's move out. Although it's dangerous, it's risky, but they want to move out. If they're given any kind of a chance other than actually massacre, I believe they'll go to the polls Sunday and vote for one of the presidential candidates. There's 3 or 4 excellent men running. Any of them could make a good president if they were given a chance. And so I'm depending on you to lift them up in prayer. Pray for this troubled land, never known freedom. They became the first independent black republic in the Western Hemisphere in 1804. They licked the best armies that Napoleon could send against them. And they've been abused and mistreated and by all of us. They have an outlook on life that shames me. They're great, lovely, wonderful people. Their faith is incredible in light of the abuse they have taken down through the years. Pray for the people of Haiti and pray for our colleagues. Pray for the church leaders that this may really yet be their day. May we stand and we'll have the benediction, and it'll be a prayer for the people of Haiti. Our Father, we ask for your grace, your love, and for the presence of your Holy Spirit, that as we do depart this place, certain things will be fixed in our minds that will cause us to pause and pray throughout the day, and particularly when Sunday comes along. Wherever we are, let's stop in the church services and remember the people of Haiti as they try to get out and vote for their president and for their representatives in the Congress. Now may your grace, all sufficient in every circumstance, how you brought us through many narrow escapes ourselves, may that grace and that sense of compassion and love be with us now as we go to tackle our schoolwork in these last few days of the semester, as we minister to the churches where we serve. May we be ever sensitive to that leadership of your Holy Spirit, in whose name we commend this hour. In Jesus' name, then. Amen.